Welcome back to the show. Dominic Jimenez here. We're heard coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Very excited to welcome in my next guest. It is none other than World Series champion, Hall of Fame pitcher, and MLB analyst John Smoltz. He will be one of the many participants at the 2025 American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe, July 9th through the 13th. It's the 36th annual tournament of celebrity golf, which has raised over $8 million for charity. It will air on Golf Channel, Peacock, and NBC. Tickets are available at AmericanCenturyChampionship.com for fans who are interested in attending. In addition to John, there will be defending champion Marty Fish, 2023 champ Steph Curry, the Kelseys, Jason and Travis, Josh Allen, Steve Young, Miles Teller, and many more athletes and stars will also be competing. John, welcome to the show. As I mentioned, Hall of Famers, All-Stars, champions participating. We hear athletes golf it up during the offseason. That's like their thing. For you, was there anything specific about the sport of golf that appealed to you and more broadly all athletes? Because it seems like a lot of guys and gals, that's what they love doing in the offseason.
Well, I never played it growing up, and I was about to go bored out of my mind in baseball, so I got to A ball and didn't have anything to do, no hobbies, but picked up golf and fishing, and I loved them both. Got hooked on golf and never stopped playing. And golf is something that for me in my career, I was able to do and pass the time so that you don't go crazy. When you pitch once every 5 days, you got a lot of time on your hands. So I was able to utilize golf as a relief, and it was a huge, huge part of my 21-year career. I think the reason everybody loves it as athletes is they know that you can play golf a lot longer than you can play your current sport.
That's very true. We see we saw Phil Mickelson in his 50s win, or late 40s win a major not too long ago, so I completely get that. For you, this is not your first go-around with the American Century Championship. How do you find the balance between going out there, beautiful Lake Tahoe, having fun, cutting it up with former rivals, other Hall of Famers, other athletes, but also having that innate fire in you as a former athlete, as a Hall of Famer, where I'm not here to have fun completely. I'm here to dominate. How do you find that balance with this tournament?
I haven't done a good job at it because I want to win so bad that I get there, and that's the greatest week of our lives, for what we got to do, what I got to do personally in broadcasting. It's a great break in the season. I got to figure out a way to calm down when I get there because I enjoy it so much. But to your point, I want to win. And that's the beauty of golf and competition amongst other athletes is, you get to have some bragging rights for a week. So I want to have bragging rights. And when I do, I'll be the oldest one to ever win. That's just my goal.
You talked about your experience picking up golf and, how golf's a sport. Athletes can keep playing after their regular sport, quote-unquote regular sport, career is over. For you, you did play in Q School to try to compete on the Champions Tour. What was that experience like for you?
Well, tournament golf is a total different beast. And playing in the Champions Tour events and getting an opportunity to play in the U.S. Open, I mean, it makes you realize how far you got to go and how far your game is from theirs. But it's a challenge, and I love the challenge, and I'm going to keep working at it. I've gotten stronger. I've got two new hips. I've avoided some shoulder surgeries, which I've already had three. And I just got to tighten up some things in my game. And if I can tighten some things up, I'll qualify for some other events and feel like I can stay younger. I just turned 58, and I'm going to get after it and keep working at it and try to get a putter that works because that's the thing that keeps me from progressing. That's the thing that keeps me from winning Tahoe is my putter. And as soon as I get some, I've never taken a lesson, but I'm going to have to take a lesson in putting. There's no doubt about it. There's something I'm doing wrong to keep lipping them out and keep missing them. So I'm going to figure it out.
No, I've got to ask because I've golfed, and my dad had to change his putter setup as he got older. Have you gone through the gamut of different styles of putter yet? Have you tried the anchor putter? Have you gone through the shorter ones? Have you gotten to that point yet, trying to figure it out on the greens?
I'm embarrassed to tell you I've had over 100 putters in the last 20 years, so I've tried it all. I just got to figure out where my setup and my eyes are that are causing me a consistent miss, and certain things are going to have to get connected where I only use one putter. I haven't stuck long enough with it. I'm a feel guy. Like I said, I haven't taken lessons, and I got to get that part. I got to get that part dialed in. When it does, you're going to see the difference in where I play, and I know that.
As I don't golf much these days, but as a bowler who hasn't taken a lesson in over 20 years, I can completely relate to you when you say I'm a feel guy and I need to just stick with it. We're speaking with John Smoltz. He'll be one of the many participants at the 2025 American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe, July 9th through the 13th. Tickets are still available. Go to AmericanCenturyChampionship.com if you're a fan and you want to go up there and watch the athletes and celebrities play. John, let's talk a little bit of baseball, too. You got to sign with your hometown Tigers after being a 22nd round draft pick before you eventually got traded to Atlanta a couple years ago. For you as a young guy, getting drafted, signing with your hometown team, what was that experience like, and how was it devastating, crushing? What was it like being traded then to Atlanta at that time?
Yeah, drafted in the 22nd round, I wasn't really thrilled, but the team that drafted me, I was growing up idolizing, just had been the year before watching them win the World Series in person at Tiger Stadium against the Padres, so you never knew what was going to happen. Then when I ultimately signed and got a contract and was going to be a product of the Detroit Tigers, I was in heaven. Getting traded devastated me. I viewed it wrong. I thought I wasn't wanted, but then realizing the opportunity in Atlanta shortly after getting there and seeing what they had and how I would progress in the big leagues, that was a an incredible break that I needed. So all in all, it worked out great, but when I got traded, it was a low point, and much like my career and learning from my mistakes or learning from tough times, it defines you. And then I basically had to reassess my goals were to get to the big leagues. It wasn't necessarily just to play for my hometown team. So it worked out just beautifully and gave me the break I needed to pitch at an early age and learn all the things I was going to learn with the Atlanta Braves.
All right. You're the only player in MLB history with 200 wins and 150 saves. And we saw it play out with Rafael Devers with the Red Sox where, excuse me, the relationship was clearly strained. He was not necessarily willing to play out of position to help out replace Tristan Casas at first base. For you, obviously, I know part of it was due to an injury where you needed to shift to the bullpen. But for you, what was your mindset where, okay, yeah, I'll go to the bullpen and then eventually go back to starting again? What was that process for you?
Yeah, so the story gets misleading sometimes. I did it out of trying to help the team down the stretch in the year that I came back from Tommy John, and mm-hmm. I fully prepared to go back to starting. Had some big-time offers from other teams as a free agent to start, and then was quite surprised that management only wanted me to close. It took a minute. I wasn't thrilled about it. There really was no option for me, and I decided to stay because I wanted to stay with Bobby Cox, and I decided to stay because if it gave us a chance to win a championship and truly made us better, then I would do it. I did it for 3 years. It did. People don't understand what it could have cost me and the sacrifices that had to be made to change in midstream, but we didn't win a series with me as a closer. And so I went back to management and said, I think we're better if I'm a starter. Nobody in the world thought that was a possibility. They called me crazy. Obviously, I was able to do it, make an all-star team, and finish my career. But it was definitely tough on the mental side of 14 really good years of starting. And then basically because I was willing to go do something else, I was forced to do the thing I didn't really want to do. But I gave it a shot. I got the greatest manager in the world in Bobby Cox, and when we didn't win a series, I kind of was able to convince them that going back to starter was the best thing. With Rafael Devers, that probably started off really bad in the spring training form, where communication wasn't there. But it's different. I was a free agent. He's got a contract under contract with his current club, getting paid a lot of money. And yes, that's a disappointment, but I was really, really shocked by some of the comments afterwards when asked if he would go to first base. And it played out bad for him, I think, and for the organization. They both were in a tough spot, and it looked like the trade and this was going to make everybody move forward. But, man, I was a little bit shocked by some of the answers and some of the comments, and ultimately led in the trade.
Now, I have to ask, we see it in sports, there's egos. So many of these athletes are at the top of their game. So for you, when you were with Atlanta, you got yourself, you've got Tom Glavin, you got Greg Maddux there, three Hall of Famers. Were there any, not even actual scuffles or disagreements, but any joking amongst the three of you as to whether who was going to get the opening day nod or who was going to get the nod in this big game? Was there any jockeying amongst the three of you, or did you guys get along like gangbusters?
No, you know, we actually didn't have any egos from the standpoint of what we wanted to be. What we wanted to do was win championships, and the reality is everybody brought something to the table at some point. And of course, Greg dominated more than anybody with his ability basically to dominate baseball with four Cy Youngs in a row. And then Glavin got his, and I finally got mine. And I think we all contributed at the right times and all contributed to each other's success with what we learned from each other, even though we didn't pitch the same. And then I had a chance to deliver in the postseason with the kind of stuff that I had that gave me an opportunity to turn it up. So it all was perfectly placed without saying a word about it, and nobody felt like they had to be the guy. We just didn't want to get embarrassed. You know, if you wanted to be the guy, you were going to get embarrassed by some great performances from time to time.
All right, one last baseball question for you. I think the surprise of the first half has to be the Detroit Tigers' best record in baseball. Tarik Skubal on track if he stays healthy for a second Cy Young. For you, can the Tigers realistically keep it up in the second half? I know the AL Central is far from the toughest division, so they have that going for them. But what do you see out of the Tigers in the second half?
Yeah, I definitely think they're for real. They have done something that you could say would be kind of a carryover from last year, even though I don't believe in it too much. But what they did gain was experience in that improbable run to the postseason. And when you do that for the first time, you start believing differently. And now they've proven that they're a really good club and taken hold of a division that really was up for grabs before the season started. So I think it's going to last. I think they're going to add, and they're going to have to make the most out of their young players that they have now, because don't know if they're going to be in position or not to sign Skubal long term, but they got him now, and he's one of the best in the game. And if you get him in the postseason, they're going to be tough to beat.
That is the voice of the Hall of Famer, John Smoltz. He'll be participating at the 2025 American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe, July 9th through the 13th. It's the 36th year, and over $8 million has been raised for charity. You can go to AmericanCenturyChampionship.com if you're in the area. Beautiful Lake Tahoe. It's a perfect excuse to go have a wonderful summer trip. And a warning to all of his competitors, if he figures out the putter, you better watch out. John, thanks so much for taking some time and talking some golf and baseball with me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.